At Rural First, we're the leader in rural construction loans because we don't work here. We work out here. We live rural, which means we know just what you need to build rural. Our dedicated team of loan specialists works with you throughout the construction process. And with our digital tool, you can manage your project all in one place. That's how Rural First gets you closer to what matters. Rural First is a registered trademark of Farm Credit Mid-America. NMLS 407249. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility. Other terms and conditions may apply. Visit ruralfirst.com for more details.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now we're on to talk about a new thriller. It's called The Killing Sense. It's set in Paris. It's a heroine, I suppose. The leading character is a single mother, and it's an absolute page turner. Its author goes by the name of Sam Blake, but she operates in other writing spheres as Vanessa O'Loughlin. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, I read the book when I was away over the new year, and I read it in jig time. It's set in Paris, and I felt like I was back there on a visit because my daughter used to live there for a couple of years. I was over and back, and I just felt I was back again.
That's fantastic to hear, because I hadn't actually ever been to Paris before I started writing this book. I went 3 times to research it. You have to do these things. But I absolutely loved it. And to hear that I've managed to bring Paris the pages, thank you.
Now, why did you pick Paris, or did Paris pick you?
I think Paris picked me. I heard the book's about a redhead who goes to Paris, as you say, Kate Wilde. And
that is important, Kate being a redhead.
Redhead, yes. So I have discovered this little known fact that perfume smells different on the skin of people with red hair. And anybody who is out there with red hair will probably already know that they need more anaesthetic if they go to the dentist or wherever because of their genetic disposition. I was really interested in this perfume thing because I hadn't heard about it before. And I started thinking about perfume and red hair, and obviously perfume then led me to France. And I was thinking about, you know, somebody from Ireland or an Irish woman going from London to France. And I love some pancrestation. I'm fascinated by the Eurostar, the fact that you can get on a train and then off at the other end.
She is living in London.
She is.
She's Irish, but
she's
living in London.
Yeah.
So you had to find a good excuse to get her to Paris.
I did. And I ended up thinking about, you know how we're all on social media the whole time. And basically what's happened is she's won a competition on social media that she can't remember entering. And we were just talking earlier when we were about entering competitions. And you just click on the button and, you know, pop in your details. That's what's happened.
And normally it's trying to sell you something. And you
Indeed.
Have to, in order to win the prize, you've got to buy something.
Exactly.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, or give your email address or whatever it might be.
So her prize is a wonderful prize.
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's a week in a beautiful apartment in Le Marais and a perfume course. So we tie back to the perfume there. And I went to Le Marais and took a perfume course to find out what she would be doing and to understand how perfume works.
It's not a spoiler to talk about any of this because the narrative is much more complex and threatening than a beautiful perfume course. But the perfume course in the book, you describe, you know, taking all the basic ingredients of a perfume and mixing them up and even creating your own personal scent.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly what I did. So I went perfume is absolutely fascinating. People who study perfumiers have this memory of scent. They might remember 2000 different scents, and they perceive scent in the same way that we perceive colour. People like me would look at colour. And so we understand colour. They understand the world through scent.
And then there are base notes to the perfume and their middle notes and their top notes.
Absolutely. And as a perfume dries on your skin, you get different ranges of that perfume and different bits. And so it's the sort of the core, the base notes are the ones that last the longest, and they're the ones that you remember the perfume by.
And this is all true. It's not,
totally.
You know, the way you get a wine expert who says, oh, the touch of tangerine mixed with a bit of old sock. Yes, that's my, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it is. I mean, I'm really, you know, Pat, from being in before, that I'm hot on research when it comes to a book. And I want, if a perfumier reads this, for them to know, yes, she's done her research. This is right. This is what the world is all about.
Now, in terms of heading off, she has a daughter. So she, being a single mum, and the husband, you know, he's still alive. He's out there somewhere, but he's not part of her life, really.
No.
So she is worried about leaving young Hannah at home.
It's the first time she's ever left her. She's come out of a very abusive marriage. And so she's quite, Eric, her ex-husband, has been very threatening. But she has a barring order against him now. But literally, this is the first time she's been away. It's the February half term or midterm break. And it's that it's always, February's always a struggle to get through when it comes to school holidays because it's always very grey and damp. Mm. And her sister, Orna, lives in London, doesn't have any kids, and is like taking the whole auntie takes niece for a week thing very seriously. So yes, Kate goes off on the Eurostar nervous, and you know, she feels that sort of break in the bond between them, yeah. I suppose.
Now, the Eurostar, I've never travelled on the Eurostar, but I think it's quite remarkable when you think of what used to be called the Channel.
Yes.
The Channel Tunnel, and the wonderful piece of engineering daring that it was.
It's incredible.
When they dug from the French side, they dug from the British side, and they hoped that when they tapped on the rock, they would actually meet in the middle, and they did.
They did.
And the experience of travelling in the Eurostar, what was that like?
It was great. It's just so easy. I mean, you know, when you go through airports, you have to get to the airport. I adore St Pancras Station. Anybody who's read my books will know that St Pancras pops up quite a bit. And it's just literally so easy. You go through security, and then you've got a lovely, but you've a lovely train waiting station. And literally, you walk up, you pop on the train, you sit down, and the next minute you're in Paris. It is unbelievable. Just getting off the Gare du Nord, and there you are.
Yeah, that bit is the most challenging bit. The Gare du Nord is not necessarily for the faint-hearted,
no.
But maybe the Eurostar terminus is a little more salubrious than other parts of the Gare du Nord.
Well, it lands you right in the middle of the station. But for Kate, she has a slight advantage that when she sits down, she sits opposite a chap called Daniel Langton, who's a British gentleman who's going to Paris, and they start chatting, and he's able to navigate it to the taxi rank at least. So that gives her a start.
Yeah. Now, your own experience of Paris, I mean, you went there as a neophyte.
Absolutely.
And what did you want to see, and what did you manage to see?
So I wanted to see, the first trip, I wanted to get a feel for the city so that I could sort of get an idea of where the book would be set. I wanted to do the perfume course, and I wanted to get just a walk around and sit in cafes and listen and smell. And one of the things I discovered, I was walking around the Place Vendôme, and I realised that as the boutique doors open.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof that being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
And you literally get bathed in this sea of scent. And that was something I would never have known if I hadn't gone to Paris. And that was me. It really is a city of scent. There's perfume everywhere. And so I wanted to really experience it in that first trip. And then once I started, I got a sense of where I wanted to place things. And then I started writing, and then I went back a second time, and then a third time to finish off.
Now, you know that they opened the doors of some of these fabulous boutiques in the Place Vendôme. You get these wonderful scents. But you could pass by Zara and get a scent.
Can
you
true.
Now, having done your course, can you tell the difference between, a Brown Thomas scent and a Zara scent?
I think you can. I think you can. Everything's different, I suppose. But the other thing is everybody's perception of scent is different. So it's like anything. It's like a painting or whatever. Your perception is different. But no, I think you can. I think you can tell the difference between a really deep, beautiful perfume that's really been developed and has those many layers in it, and perhaps a lesser. Not suggesting that Zara would have a lesser perfume in any shape or form.
Did you do, I mean, your character wants to visit the Eiffel Tower, you know, bring back a souvenir for Hannah. Mm. Did you do the Eiffel Tower?
I did on my second trip. I went down the sewers on the first trip, though, because I knew the book opened. I had an idea about how the book opened, and I needed to see the sewers in order to get a feel for what that was going to be like, so I could write that bit. So, yeah, I actually didn't go up the Eiffel Tower on my first trip. It was the second time.
And another of my daughters went on a school tour, the younger girl, and part of the school tour was a trip to the sewers.
Yeah, it's quite an experience. And scent is an issue, as I said. It's definitely a city of scent. But it was very interesting. Mm. And they have those blue signs. You know those beautiful blue signs they have on the boulevards and the avenues? And I love those. And they have them in the sewers too, and they match. So the tributaries and everything in the sewers are the exact same as above ground.
Now, to get to the more sinister aspects of the plot, and we don't want to give too much away, but... It becomes quite, she's in a gorgeous apartment.
Yeah.
In the Marais too.
Yeah.
So she's in a gorgeous apartment, but things are not quite as she left them when she comes back every
time?
No,
that's it. She gets a feeling that somebody's been in the apartment. So the first time she goes back to the apartment, the first night, she opens the door and a cat comes shooting out, who clearly has wandered in and got trapped. And
when odd things happen, we all try to make explanations. I mean, I remember one time when I was living in the centre of town, I went into my little house, took my jacket off and hung it on the back of a chair, and then went up to have a shower, came down, and my wallet was gone.
Oh, no.
And I knew I had my wallet in my jacket, and it took me ages to convince myself that somebody had come in the hall door, which is one of those that didn't lock automatically. Yeah. You had to lock it. Someone had come in and actually taken
your
wallet.
Gosh.
And I kept on looking for other explanations. I must have left it in the
car.
Well,
absolutely. Was your jacket still there? You're thinking, yeah, there must be a reason. Yeah, no, Kate's like that. She's looking. She thinks there must have been a cleaner that nobody told her about, you know, that maybe perhaps this is a service department. And she can't work out why somebody would be coming in because it's spotlessly clean. But yeah, there's lots of little bits and pieces. And scent again, when she comes in, she can smell something. She knows somebody's been in there.
Now, you had an endorsement from none other than the Crime Writers Association chair.
Indeed, Maxine Jabalski. Amazing. And more amazing for me because he was brought up in France. He knows Paris like nobody else, you know. And so that I just was great.
Now, sometimes, and at the very end of the book, you do admit to a mistake. I don't know whether you want to admit to it now.
No, I know. You have to make the acknowledgements now to get. Yeah, because you have to. Sometimes you do have to tweak things a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. It's about the Bridge of Locks. For anybody who is interested, it's to do with the history and the timing.
That brings us to another little subplot. That part of the reason your character's in Paris is really in memory of a lost friend.
It totally is. And so that was part of it. You know, you win a competition and you check it out and you think, well, you know, perhaps it's real, perhaps it's not. But Kate has another reason for going to Paris. And she, when she was in school, she had a very, very close friend and they went to watch Amelie, the movie, together, and they just became completely involved in Paris and the whole Amelie thing and romance and all those things you do when you're a teenager. And they had this vow that they would go to Paris one day. But unfortunately, her friend got a brain tumour and she was very, very sick. So she has a reason to go to Paris to honour Trish.
Now, this may all sound very, you know, romantic and Parisian, but it is a thriller at its very heart.
Yeah, it's quite claustrophobic and quite scary. And some of those things that happen in Kate's apartment, the things that are moved and things that change are really quite scary.
Now, the title you've given to the book, The Killing Sense, S-E-N-S-E, but if you say it, it could be S-C-E-N-T-S.
It could indeed. So, yeah, it's all about senses and scent and being scary. It's about also that feminine intuition, that sense we have of, you know, when we're being watched, or, you know, that feeling when you walk across a car park at night and you just have a feeling that maybe there's somebody behind you, so...
Just a question, when you were in Paris, visit 1, 2 or 3, did you feel safe all the time?
I did, actually. I think because I always think it's wonderful to go to a city if you're on a mission. If you're going to research something, you know where you're going and you've found out where, you know, and I did. I was very careful in the metro because one of my kids has had problems with pickpockets and things like that. So, but no, I did feel safe, actually. But I was very much in the centre, I think. I didn't wander out too far, so...
Yeah, I mean, if you head out into some of the suburbs, it can be a little more difficult to navigate.
Exactly.
The next book, you're already, I'm sure, in the throes of it, because by the time one comes into the shops, you're under starter's orders to deliver the next one.
I am. I've actually finished it. I wrote it. This one took ages to write, Pat. This one, because of the trips and I approached it in a different way. So it took me at least a year to write. But the next one, which is now finished, I managed to do a bit quicker. So.
And can you tell us where you've decided to set
the next one? The next one's actually set in London, but it is sort of Selling Sunset meets Baby Reindeer. Just to give you a clue as to what it might be about.
Okay, very interesting. Anyway, the current one in all the shops now is called The Killing Sense. I can thoroughly recommend it. An absolute page-turner. And Sam Blake, a.k.a. Vanessa Loughlin, thank you very much for joining us in studio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.